Well, I'm going to call this teaching today, we have three choices. We have three choices. And this is something that is on my heart on and off at the moment. With everything that we see and everything we hear, everything is being shaken. God says in his word in the last days, I will shake the heavens and the earth. And we believe that God, and that's in the book of Hebrews. And we believe that this shaking that God is doing is to expose. You see, when things become shakable, you always find that people become vulnerable. No finer example than maybe some of you have experienced this, but we've seen it on videos and on news where some countries sadly have earthquakes, and some earthquakes can be very bad. And what do you see that happens? They panic, fear. And the first thing they do is to run. They try and run out of a house or a building. Or if you live in places like Japan, where earthquakes are quite common, they have various things that they're taught to do, one of which is to go under a table quickly. Anything to protect, because of course we know that things begin to collapse and so on. And God says that I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth in the last days. And I believe that we are experiencing and seeing this. Why do I say this? Because it's on a global level. It doesn't matter where you are, where you're talking to someone, or where the news is coming from around the world. We see that there is turmoil, there is upset, there's wars, rumours of wars. We see that so many are against each other. We see prejudice now on levels that we have never seen before. Racial tensions, you name it. One of the things that I'm seeing online, because as you know, I spend a lot of time online now communicating with a lot of Christians around the world. I'm seeing racial tension amongst Christians like I have never seen before. And that they're saying your colour, your country where you come from really depends before God's eyes. And of course, they're using Old Testament where the Jews or the Greeks or the Gentiles, they're using history in which to reveal and show that God was with those people or God was with that race or whatever it would be. And I'm from that tribe. And we've got today now that's dividing or trying to divide the body of Christ, Hebrew Israelites. And this is all based on rebellion, on race, on prejudice, all of which we hear in the news, these cultural differences, and it's trying to divide what Christ had done at the cross. And we know what Christ done at the cross. He not only brought in a new covenant, he dealt with the law, but he made everyone equal at the foot of his cross. Mm-hmm. Greek, Jew, yes. Gentile, bond, free, whatever, all made one at the foot of the cross. And you share this with them, and they've got all their scriptures to try and oppose the work and redemption of what Christ has done. I've never seen it on such levels like I'm seeing it now. And the division, particularly in the US, which is supposed to boast itself as evangelicals and the gospel and everything, the division there is unbelievable. Most of this stuff is coming out from there, as I've said so many years. Most of the cults and doctrines over the last 150 years have come out from the US and infiltrated right round the world. I see what it's doing, because as you know, I've got an input at the moment into Pakistan. The devil's been very active there through Catholicism, through so-called US evangelism. And they've all learnt to beg. They want money all the time. Until I tell them, the word says, freely you have received, freely give. Oh, yes. Because they've seen it in the word, you see. One of the things why I can see God is moving in Pakistan, when I correct them and I bring them to the word of God and what God's word says, there's no arguing. There's no coming back. They see it and they receive it. That's what I see. And that's why God can move. Because they're open to learn the word of God. And I regard it as a great responsibility. Because as I've said, they're teaching me so much. I mean, they really are. I mean, you know, I'm sharing with some brothers who God's preparing them for the ministry. They work during the daytime. Some of them walk an hour and a half to get to their job, and an hour and a half they walk back in the evening. And then they're going to minister, or they're going to preach the word, or whatever it is. Do I hear them complain? Never, never. They wouldn't tell me unless I find out and I talk with them. They don't tell me that their landlords, most of them, are all Muslims. And since we've started preaching, teaching the word, it's upset the landlords. And one landlord came, heard me preaching, and started back destroying some of their furniture and everything in rage. Did they gripe and moan? Did they stop the meeting or whatever? No. They carried on. And they tell me, Pastor, we're ready to die if need be for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I tell you, I hang my head in shame. I know why God's got me there, so that I can learn, but I can give back to them the preaching, the teaching, the years of experience that I've had in the word, and they just soak it in. And to help them to grow in the faith. You know, I've shared with them about how that God wants growth in the body of Christ. We're not to remain children, to grow and mature. As it says in Hebrews, the Apostle Paul said, I've fed you with milk, but you must now go on to the solids of the word. Mm. And we have been blessed with the solids of the word for years. I taught that teaching last week in a church, and they kept interrupting. And you know what? What it was? They kept clapping. They were so excited. They were picking it up, you know? And I thought, listen to this. And how God teaches us. They have so little, but what they have, they praise and they thank God. You know, it's a difficult life for a lot of our brothers and sisters, because they're treated like dogs, like animals. The Muslims see them as unclean. Infidel, yes, exactly. And yet they say, we're going to carry on. We're not going to be deterred by it. We've been given a message, a gospel, and we're going to get it out. And they get it out to the people. Praise the Lord. I only prayed with a brother last night. And he said, will you pray for me? I'm going for the first time ever to share the gospel of salvation to a group of people. I'm going to a house and God will bring them there. And he'd never preached before. He communicates with me every day, every day. He's the one that walks hour and a half to work and back as a painter and decorator. And he said, just pray for me that that anointing will fall on me. Can't speak English very well, but he knew enough what I was saying and doing. I just had a text. God moved. God moved. And souls just give their heart to the Lord, you know. It makes me realise how God prepares, how he goes before. I mean, my heart's desire is that God will have mercy again on this nation. I mean, we've just heard news last week that they're electing the first woman archbishop, you know? And how far has the Christian faith as we knew in this country fallen? And I heard yesterday that this archbishop, who she's going to be, all her elders and deacons, they're all females that she's chosen, not one man. Yeah. What are we seeing today? The spirit of Jezebel at work. It's witchcraft. Because they no longer want God's divine order. And what is his divine order? God, Jesus, the man, the woman. And that is how God has purposed it. Not that we lord it over one another or we insist, you know. No. We submit to that in love, in unity and oneness, because it's what God says, you see. And this is why I come back to this freedom to choose. He has given us so much freedom that we can crucify him each day. We can reject him. We can spit in his face. And he doesn't retaliate. As Isaiah said, he said he's like a sheep that goes to the slaughter, doesn't retaliate. And that's what the world does. Rejects the greatest gift that has ever been offered to mankind. We are free to choose, but we are only free to choose within our sin. If we're not born again, we're simply free to choose which way to sin. And that's the tragedy. But you and I have been redeemed from that. We have chosen with our free will to follow the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And as we give over that will to him, as we present ourselves to him, we choose to do it, then we give him permission to take over our lives. And then we read such things, you didn't choose me, I chose you. You see, as I say so often, if God doesn't choose before the foundation of the world, before the world was ever created, if he doesn't choose his elect, no one will be saved. Not in us. We're too selfish. We're too caught up in our own thing and everything. But you see, God has a way of intervening. He comes in and he interjects. And everything you're planning, everything you want to do, will suddenly just disintegrate, goes all wrong. And I thank God for that. And then we begin to realise the hand of God is over my life. And he is protecting me. He's opening my eyes to see. That's why it says in the Word of God, he works both to will and do for my good pleasure. He will influence our will if we let him, because God will never force us. And that is why I'm completely opposed with a lot of churches, sadly, who start to become legalistic, cultish, because they are forcing the will of the people. That is not how God works. That is not how Jesus ministered. He simply said to them, come, follow me. They were free to follow him or not, you see. And that is how the gospel should always be presented. We know where the rich young ruler said, I will follow you. Good. He was a good, upright man, good citizen, good law-abiding citizen. He was the rich young ruler. And Jesus said, there's just one problem. Go and sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and come, follow me. And he went away with his head bowed, disappointed. What had Jesus exposed? Where his heart was, in his wealth. See, Jesus wasn't saying you can't be wealthy, you can't have money. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, where is your heart and affection? You see, there can only be our heart and affection set upon the Lord. It's in the commandments. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your being. The first great commandment. And even he has to help us to do that. And then when we love him and our heart and affection is right with him, then he can bless. And he does bless, because it's not owning us, controlling us. Idolatry is when it controls you. You are a slave to it, and you can be a slave to many, many things. You can be a slave to your hobby. You can become a slave to your spouse because you've made an idol out of them. You can become a slave to your job. It can anything where our affections, attitudes are not right. And when we hand it over and we give it over to the Lord, free will, then we find God will change our heart, our affection. And then you find that these idols that we have in our life, when we're delivered from them, we find that they were actually a burden. They didn't give me that peace. They didn't give me that joy, that fulfillment. I was a slave to it. And that's why it says, whom the Son sets free, you are free indeed. The good news of the gospel is that he comes to set us free. We just listen to the devil's lies because he wants to hold us in bondage. He wants to hold us in blindness and fear. It's not until we are set free from these things do we then look and realize, I was a slave to that. I was driven by that, and so on. And that is why you're able to thank the Lord and to praise him for that wonderful work that he does. But did he force you? No. He brought you to that place. Have you ever been brought to a place where you say, I am sick and tired of this. I've had enough. I've had enough of being a slave, held, driven. I'm my own worst enemy. Have you ever said that? I've said it. I'm my own worst enemy. Lord, help me, deliver me, set me free from this. And it's like God saying, at last you're seeing it. I brought you to this place and now you want to get rid of it. You want to cast it off. And I will. But did he force us? No. He worked, he engineered our circumstances. This is why he's in control of our life, our destiny, our going out and our coming in. He's in every facet and area, who we meet, what we do, where we go, when we travel. He gives his angels charge over us all the time. Everything to the minutest detail is being worked and engineered to bring you to that place of healing and deliverance and blessing. That's why I said he works in you both to will and do for his good pleasure. And even the tragedies in our life, where sometimes we think, well, why did I have to go through that? Or why did that happen? But you look back and you think, yes, I had to go through that to be where I am today.
Amen.
To be the person that I am today. All of that has molded me. And where do we get that from? The potter and the clay. He says he is the potter and he gets hold of that grayish lump and he throws it on the potter's wheel. He then has to get some water to make it malleable and to work on it. The water, which is the word of God, and the master's hands begin to work. And from that clay, he forms the most perfect, beautiful vessel. That is us. And what is a vessel for? To contain whatever's put into it. Vessels of honour. That's what the word of God says. This is why we must never come against the hand of God, the way he works with us. And this is why our trials, our tests that we go through, or maybe your circumstances at the moment are not what you would like. That is all part of God raising you up for that vessel that gives him glory. Your circumstances are what is giving him the glory because he sees the finished results. We don't. We are a work in progress. We are being changed from glory into glory. And this is how he does it. But there are just some times when I go through things when I just think, will this ever end? I just think to myself, Lord, you see the end result for me. I am in the process of being changed, transformed. And one day I will stand in your likeness like the rest of us. His peculiar treasure set apart unto himself. Have you ever thought about it? That when we are caught up, when we are finally his family, his chosen, we are going to not only look at him, but we're going to look at one another, and we are all going to bear that same mark that I am a product of what God has done in my life, and we're going to see that glorified. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? How we're going to see one another? And we will have that certain understanding of how God perfected us in his image. It's going to be incredible, mind-boggling, that when we get together as God's family, there will be so much to rejoice and praise and thank him for. And then we have eternity. I mean, we can't even think of eternity. But that's what we're destined for. We have eternity where we will always, always be learning about Almighty God. You will never stop. You will be experiencing revelation after revelation after revelation of the greatness and almightiness of God. And not only will you be learning it, but you will be experiencing it. You will be a part of it. You see? That's the wonderful thing. That's why it says in the Word, "I have not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him." We can't even begin to, you know, our minds can only take so much. But that is the great and mightiness of God. This is why I love to talk about God's glory, the greatness of God. We so limit him to our mind, our thinking. But it's far greater and bigger, you see. But we have to be taught. We have to be taught from the Word of God. This world, and when we look up into the sky, particularly at night, and you see all the myriads of stars, and we don't know what is up there. We're just scratching the surface. And yet the Bible says that he's outside of that. His throne, his glory is outside of it. It's almost contained within the presence of Almighty God. What are we dealing with? Well, where do you start in all of this? And here we have in the Word of God that Christ came and he emptied himself of God in flesh, and he took on the form of a human being like you and I. And not only did he take on the form and the limitations, but he took on the role of a servant, a slave. He says he divested himself of his glory. His omnipotent, his omniscience, his all almighty power. And he took on human form. But in spirit, he was still divine. And he identified. And he moved amongst the people. One of his great followers, Mary Magdalene, a prostitute, cast out 14 demons. She was the first to recognize his voice when he was risen. Wow. Look at God. Tax collectors and the religious people, they were up in arms. What's this Jew, this man, fellowshipping with dogs? They're unclean. It's where Muslims get it from, you see. They are the ways of Almighty God, and you won't tell him. That's why I love the good news of the gospel, because it's for the poor, it's for the destitute, it's what the world rejects. You see? And that's why we're here. That's why I'm here. It was nothing, God's, it was nothing me. Wretched of sinners. But he chose to receive. Profound. I'm lost for words. But you know, when you're truly touched by that, your whole will wants to do the will of God. You surrender it over. You're pleased to do it. Because you know he's never going to cheat you. He's never going to abuse you. He's never going to ridicule you. He's not going to make fun of you. Nothing like that at all. He respects us and loves us. Why? Because we're made in his image. And we transmit that same love for others. You know, one of the things I'm having to tackle at the moment with regard where Pakistan is concerned, it goes on in India. I mean, I've said, praise God, what God is doing there and everything, but the devil's busy as well. One of the things they're doing, they exploit very poor children. There is something pretty awful that goes on there, but they are given all the menial tasks, the jobs that the Muslims don't want, and they produce bricks for building. It's called the brick area. It's massive in Pakistan. And all the slaves, all the children, orphans don't have children. They're put into these places and they have to make bricks each day from virtually for nothing, slave labour. So there are Christians that go in there, try to help them, feed them, educate them and so forth. Guess what? The enemy's got in. There are people, charlatans going in there, and it appears as though they're feeding them, they're looking after them, educating them. But the money that people donate online, they're buying houses, cars, and whatever. And I get them, I get them constant coming through and everything. And I'm just exposing it. Just exposing it. I've got one who said to me, "You're right. You're right what I'm doing." And I believe he's repenting. He's repenting. But it looks so convincing. But of course, the brothers and sisters have warned me about this. They said this is a huge problem we have here, because it is a problem, you know, but they are abusing these children. And as I've said, this is not what Jesus... They love to use, "Suffer the little children to come unto me." That's the one they love to use, you see? To pull on the emotional strings, you know, the heart strings. And I said, but Jesus didn't do that, what you're doing. And that is the point. And he didn't... Well, they didn't have photographs, they didn't have cameras in those days. But I said, look at the photos you're taking in their rags, you're showing, you're feeding them. I said, would you like to be photographed like that? They can't answer me. Can't answer me. You see? So the enemy, he's there. He's busy. But the Spirit of the Lord is moving. Spirit of the Lord's moving here today, in this place. So God says, wherever two or three gathered together, he says, there am I in the midst. I'm there. And we can be blessed by God and his presence and fellowship, can we not? So there we are, brothers and sisters. We are free to choose. I'm glad I've made the right choice. And I'm doing it God's way. And it's not a burden. It's not hard. You know, the devil's so subtle, such a liar. You can't walk this walk. You can't obey God. You're not a very good Christian, or whatever it would be. Lies. Because God works through me, both to will and do for his good pleasure. All God ever wants from us is our will, to surrender our life, our hearts to him, and the Spirit of God will work in you. That's why the Apostle Paul said, in weakness I am strong. Do you feel weak at times? Do you feel as though you come to the end? You can't take any more? The burdens at work, they want too much from me. Goes on and on and on. You are at your strongest. Isn't that amazing? Only God could do that. And what do you do at the end of the day? When you put your head on the pillow, I don't know how I got through this day today, but I did. There you are. God's testimony.